Get your Bibles, please. We're going to turn to about a dozen different scriptures, and then I'm going to talk for just a little bit. But get your thumb licked up and stick it in somebody's ear. I mean, get it ready to... Psalm chapter 69, Psalm 69. We're going to flip through a lot of the Psalms from... I've got them in order so that you don't have to go back and forth. So Psalm 69, look at verse number 30 with me. Psalm 69, verse number 30. Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Look at Psalm 92. Turn over to Psalm 92, just several pages over there. Psalm 92, look at verse number 1. Psalm 92, verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 95, just a page over, Psalm 95, verse number 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Turn to Psalm 100, very famous psalm, verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 106, verse number 47. Psalm 106, verse number 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Skip down to verse number 29. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then Psalm 136. Psalm 136, look at verse number 2. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And skip down to verse 26. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And then I'll read one other verse to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just about a dozen verses or so that God commands us to give thanks. I want you to notice something. In all these verses, he didn't ask us to do it. It wasn't a question. He said, give thanks. That's just like thou shalt not kill. That's just like thou shalt do this. It is just as much a command. By the way, the Ten Commandments had nothing to do with going to heaven. That was civil law. That was the law of the land. That was their constitution, so to speak. But these are just as much of a command as anything else. And for the next little while, I'm going to give thanks unto God for Grace Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but I sat down, and these are in no certain order, but I've got page after page after page after page of things that I just want to hit and run and hit and run and hit and run. But I think it very appropriate with tomorrow being Thanksgiving. It's amazing how many people will get together, they'll eat, they'll take a nap, they'll eat some more, they'll take a nap, they'll eat some more. Some of us will get up and go hunting, and then we'll come back and eat and take a nap and go back out hunting and kill and eat some more, amen? So whatever it is, or you'll watch football, or you'll play games, you'll be with family, but I wonder how many of us will truly take time to be thankful to God. God tells us to give thanks. Not just to one another, but to give thanks to him. And it's time for Grace Baptist Church to stop for a moment and take a little time and be thankful to him. First of all, I'm thankful we have a beautiful place for God's people to get together. Boy, has God done some wonderful things on this little 4-acre piece of property. I mean, it's just amazing how we got it. It's amazing how our first service out here, Brother Stoltz and I stood in the back of my F-150. He was picking and I was a-grinning, amen? And you all sat in your own chairs that you brought and you thought, preacher, are you sure? It was a wilderness, do you remember? I mean, the grass was taller than everybody's heads. And everybody was saying, well, where are we going to put a building? Right here. And look what God's done. One of the most beautiful pieces of property in this area, I know. And I thank God for a good, clean, nice building that we've been able to get into, and we don't have to rent it. It's ours, amen? We're not moving from hotel to hotel and rented building to rented building, and we don't have to share toilets with anybody outside. It's you remember those days? Or getting locked out of them? or having kids locked in them? We've had both of those situations, and thank God for what he's done for Grace Baptist Church. I'm also thankful for the people. Our church is not a building. Our church is the people. I'm looking at Grace Baptist Church. Grace Baptist Church is not about a building. It's about the people inside. And I'm thankful for faithful people. Hey, I know a lot of churches on a Thanksgiving Eve who can't scrabble enough people together to put in their auditorium. And yet, look around. We got a pretty full house, and we've got folks out of town. We've got folks out sick. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing here. Next, I'm thankful for the loving, fun, family atmosphere that's real and not manufactured. We don't talk about our church being a family. We just are family. That's the way it's supposed to be. Please don't get mad at me if you know a church like this. I'm not criticizing them. I don't pay attention to others. But I've seen other churches, and they advertise about a family atmosphere. A church shouldn't have to advertise that. We're all children of God. We all ought to just do it because it's the right thing to do. And I'm thankful that we have fun here. I'm glad it's not against the rules to laugh, because I'd have broke it the first time. What a great place. What a great atmosphere. And by the way, it's not generated by man. It truly comes from the inside of each of God's people. And it's just it's a fun place to be. I don't know about you, but I just love being here. Next, I'm thankful for the growth and getting more people while many churches are dying. We stayed open all the way through COVID. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that was wise. Okay, but we grew.
Yes, we did.
We've added new people. And we've got people in this room tonight that are in church because we stayed open and their church is shut down.
Right.
Good job. That's one of them out right there. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for resilient people who were willing to do right, even in the face of opposition. I realize we went through COVID. It's been a year now that I haven't smelled or tasted anything. That's all right. I mean, I've gone 12 whole months that way, and it's probably never coming back. Such is life. There's a whole lot worse out there. Some smells I'm glad I don't have to smell anymore. I mean, my son-in-law's here. I'm not going down that route, Michael. No. And wait a minute. I'm thankful that this isn't just a church that stayed open, but we're concerned about reaching more people. We're not trying to have a big church. We're just trying to reach everybody we can. I have no numeric goals, virtually. A little novelty of let's reach 22 families in 2022, but if everybody does what they said they would do, we'd reach over 40 families next year. Wouldn't that be something? That's just amazing. We've added 14 families this year. That's something to praise God for and thank God for. And I'm thankful for each and every person that has come. I'm thankful to be around the best people in the world. Not perfect, but the best people in the world. I mean that. Our church isn't full of perfected Christians. Because by the time you think you arrive there, guess what? You're back at the bottom. If you really think you're something, Mom, you're in heaven. You can't get mad at me. There's a lot of people who think they're a hot snot on a silver platter, but they're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Man, I can hear my mom getting mad at me right now. She's looking at Jesus saying, I didn't tell him to say that. Now, wait a minute. That's what a lot of churches try to be. Well, if you don't live a certain level, then we're going to excommunicate you. Gag. It's the religious people that crucified Jesus. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is, Lord, I need you. I'll do what you say. We're just all a bunch of broken sinners saved by grace. Amen. And I'm thankful for the best people in the world. I mean that. I am looking at some of the best people this side of heaven. And I mean good, solid, hardworking, ornery, mean, good people. And I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for a church that stands on the King James Bible and the truth. Folks, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The moment this church turns from that book, do me a favor, leave. You say, well, preacher, we might get somebody offended. Good. Truth does offend. You throw a rock at a pack of dogs, and one that yelps is the one you hit. I'm thankful that we stand on truth unashamedly. And by the way, we're not backing off. We live in such a wishy-washy, well, they don't call it that anymore. They call it a woke society. Gag. Those are the people that don't even know what bathroom to use. I'm thankful that we have a church that's founded, built, and we're not changing the truth to match man. We're changing man to match the truth. The truth is supposed to change us. We're not supposed to change it to match us. Next. Don't get me preaching now. I'm thankful for the people that I love more than anybody in the world. I mean that. The people I love most are right here. I have virtually every person other than some of my family that's not in this area. I love this church and I love you people. Every day of my life, I think about and pray for you. Call your name out to God. Boys and girls, too. I don't text you, but I text a lot of you adults. Can I tell you something? I love the people in this room. Michael and I were talking today, and he's young in the ministry, and he said, preacher, don't take this offensively, but I don't want a pastor. And I see, I said that for about 25 years, too. I said, but let me tell you something. When God puts you in it, it's the most natural thing in the world. It really is. You parents know what I'm talking about. That first one, you didn't know what was going to happen. But once it came, you still didn't know what to do with it. By the time it turned 12 or 13, you wanted to give it back. By the time it turned 15, you wanted to kill it. But that love is very strong. And it just kind of happens. And thank God for the people in this room. I mean this. Your preacher loves you more than you may ever know. It's one of the most wonderful things. Then I'm thankful for the miracles we get to see every week. I was listening to Brother Roloff on the radio the other day. I happened to have him on and knew what time he was on the radio, and I clicked him on, Brother Mike, and I heard him make this statement. He said, the only reason churches today aren't having miracles is because they're not doing anything to get a miracle. I thought, Uncle Roly, you've been in heaven for 39 years. My cousin was killed on the plane crash with him 39 years ago. And can I tell you something? I'm thankful for a church that sees miracles virtually every week. If you knew some of the things that happen around here, you really wouldn't believe it. I'll tell you this, needing a miracle stinks. If you're in a situation where you need a miracle, you're not in a good spot. But boy, we see them just about every week. I mean that. week after week after week after week. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of a place where God says, they just trust me enough, let me show them what I can do. I'm thankful for a place where it's okay to make mistakes. You don't have to be perfect to come to Grace Baptist Church. We're a hospital, not a museum. Did you know you don't go to the hospital because you feel good? You know, it's not a place you go when you're feeling good. Say, I'm just going to go check myself into the hospital. I feel great. No. It's a place you go when things aren't quite right. And thank God for a church where if somebody makes a mistake, the whole world isn't going to know about it.
Right.
Say why? Because we'd have to tell them all the mistakes you've made too. I don't understand wanting to get up and tell everybody's mistakes. They're under the blood. Yeah. I'm not going there either, son. Can I tell you something? It's okay to make a mistake. I don't think we ought to try to make them. I think we ought to try to avoid them. But when they happen, guess what? There's another day coming. And as I tell people all the time, no nail prints there. I've made my fair share of mistakes, believe me. And guess what? I'm going to make some more. But at least I'm trying. I'll take somebody that makes mistakes than somebody that sits there and does nothing.
Amen.
At least if you make a mistake, you tried something. Next. I'm thankful that this is a place where nobody's a big shot. Have you noticed? The ground's level at the cross here.
Amen.
Yeah, I have the title pastor, but guess what? That just means I'm supposed to serve you more. And nobody's a big shot here. This isn't a place where, I don't have a position, preacher. Nobody else does either. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
You say, why do you do that, preacher? So we don't have power struggles.
Amen.
You say, well, what about our deacons? They're good men. Our deacons and trustees are good men, but they don't have any more authority around here than anybody else.
That's right.
They're an advisory board. They help me. They give me good advice, and I listen to them, and we guide things a little bit, but I don't have a chairman of the deacon board and a vice chairman of the deacon board and secretary of the deacon board and head trustee and head this. Say why? Because that's what brings troubles in churches. I've seen it too many times. We all got one vote on the group, and if it's big enough, we bring it to the church and let you vote on it. We had 4 church business meetings when we built an entire building project. My pastor taught me anything with more than one head's a monster. Somebody's got to make the decisions. Go ahead, crucify me. Well, you're just a dictator. You don't know what that means. Just go to Washington, D.C. You'll find out what that means. That's not how we're leading. I just happen to know a little bit more about church work than anybody else in the room. And I don't mean that unkindly. It's just I've been preaching 41 years and I'm in full-time service 32 years. I think I ought to know a little bit more about building churches than the average person. Next, I'm thankful for faithful, obedient tithers to where God opens the windows of heaven upon. I wish I could give you all the opportunity to tell just in the last 6 months what God's done for you because of your tithing. It's amazing. If you knew some of the stories that I know, it would shock you. By the way, I don't push it. You don't hear me ripping on you. This isn't a church where when you join that you have to give us your bank account information and we direct withdrawal from your banking account. Do me a favor. If you have been to a church like that, don't go back. That's fraud.
Amen.
God says, bring it. God didn't tell the church to take it.
That's right.
You say, well, I think that everybody ought to have a good attitude when they give. Well, God says that you'll have a better blessing if you give with a good attitude, but he'll take any old grouch to give it. Let's face it. I think we just ought to learn how to obey God, and look what God's done because of that. I was in Florida just last week. I took my dad there. I was golfing with my brother and 2 other men, one of which was a multi-millionaire. He said, Craig, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor of a Baptist church. He said, really? He said, that takes a lot of faith. I said, no, it takes a lot of obedience and a lot of stupidity. I mean, he said, no, that's a big. He said, what's your church like? What's your? And I told him about our property and our building. I pulled my phone out and showed him some pictures. He said, wow, that's impressive. He's got family that lives in Leesburg. I said, Doc, when you're up in Leesburg, I said, let me know. I said, I'd love to have you come to my church sometime and see it. He said, I will. He said, I want to come see that. He said, I've never met anybody that started something from nothing, not church-wise. He said, I've done a lot of business in my life. He said, but I never met anybody that took an ugly old piece of ground like what you just showed me and turned it into that. He said, wow, that's impressive. This is what he said. He said, you must have a lot of good people. I said, no, sir, I've got the best people. And we talked about it at length. Good night. I was with him for 4 hours. He was tired of talking about it by the time I got done. But I'm thankful for God opening the windows of heaven upon good, faithful, obedient people. Next, I'm thankful for a place where God smiles upon it. Have you ever noticed God smiles on our church?
Yes, he does.
It's just an amazing thing. You walk in and you feel it. You walk in and you see it. You walk in on a Sunday morning and watch what God does here, and we have more people saved by accident than most churches do on purpose.
Right.
And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I stopped at Sheets to get gas, and there's a gospel track stuck in there. And I'm standing there looking at it, and there's a guy on the other side of the pump, and he said, there's one over here. And then he looked at it, and he looked at me. He looked at the track and looked at me. He said, is that? I said, it is. He said, you put them both in there? I said, I just got here. You were here before me. He said, oh, yeah. You know how awkward that is? You all love doing that, but it is a little awkward every once in a while. I love it. I love it. I love it. God smiles on our church. Next, I'm thankful for a church that has no cliques.
Amen.
By the way, there won't be any.
Right.
Say why? Because I don't let them happen. We're going to get this little group, and we're not going to let those people. It's not going to happen here. I'll bust it wide open real fast. We're all part of the family. We're not supposed to have secret pockets. It's all for one and one for all. Amen. He said, well, I just don't like that person. Well, you can get right with God too.
Amen.
He said, well, they're just not my kind of people. Then why don't you change what you are? Jesus got along with everybody. Okay, I told you I wasn't going to preach. Next. I'm thankful for a place where serving is bigger than being served.
Amen.
You know, there is a joy in serving. Man, it's fun. It really is. I enjoy serving the people of this church, and I enjoy watching you serve. Just tonight, I watched Brother Juan run out and help Miss Patricia and Brother Randall come in. Say, what? One of our young deacons going out and helping Miss Patricia in. I love that. I love that. You see, you know what he said as he came in? Thank you, preacher, for letting me help her. That's big stuff. You say, what is that? Learning to serve versus being served. What a wonderful way to live. Next, I'm thankful for a place where we truly do care about people and we just don't say it. You know, when somebody's down here or in need here, we jump to it. We don't just talk about it. We're going to jump to it. Talk's cheap. What are you going to do about it? And here, if somebody's in need, we're going to pull together and make it happen. This is a place where we truly care about people. I'm thankful for a place where we can see our young married and married appropriately. Michael and Mindy are here. I did their wedding standing right about where I'm at right now. And if you weren't here for that, you missed some really fun times. I have never laughed at a wedding any more than I did theirs. Say, why? Because Mindy's a clown. We laughed and we cried. That little stinker, she recorded a song that we walked down the aisle to, and she played a song of her singing about being daddy's girl. Everybody's in here sobbing. I'm trying not to. She's holding on to my arm and she's singing it in my ear. And I'm looking at Nathan up here. He starts crying. I thought, you jerk. I was watching you so I wouldn't cry. So I'm looking above his head thinking, I know what's coming next. And she gets through all that. Well, when Michael proposed to her, her first words weren't yes. It was, are you serious? So the day she did that, I pulled Nathan aside and said, you just wait till the wedding. This is what I'm going to do. Sure enough, wedding day, she gets done with the song, everything. Everybody's crying. He said, who gives this bride away? I said, are you serious? We went from crying to laughing real fast. It was great. We had a lot of fun. I'm glad that purity is the right way here. Thank God for a place where our young can be married next. I'm thankful for a place that we can comfort those when we have to send our loved ones on ahead. By the way, I'm talking from experience because a year ago next month, I had my mama's funeral right here. Nobody enjoys that, but I'm glad we have a place where we can come and it's comfortable to be here. It's comforting to be here. And there's nothing good necessarily about death. But I'm glad we got a place where we can run to and it's okay.
Yes, sir.
Next. I'm thankful that this is a place that not only are visitors welcome, but we expect them and we look for them and we go out and get them every week. Realize every week this year we've had visitors. Realize every week but two last year during a pandemic we had visitors. I can count on that hand the number of Sundays in the last 4 years that we've not had visitors here. It's amazing. It truly is. You say, why is that? Because it's just something we do. It's part of our DNA. Go get one, amen? Let's go get them. Next, I'm thankful for a place that's happy and full of laughter. Brother Fugit and I, when he was here just a few weeks ago, we were walking down the hall and he said, preacher, you got a healthy church. I said, why you say that? He said, listen. He said, that's the sound of happy people. Laughing, carrying on. And he's holding his stitches. Oh, don't make me laugh. Yeah. He said, that's a sign of a happy church. He said, you know how many churches I go into, I don't hear any laughter. He said, it's pretty sad. He said, I love coming here. It's happy. Full of laughter. He said, I shouldn't have come right after having stitches in my mouth. Next. I'm thankful for Mrs. Barnes and all the hard work she does here. And let me, yeah, you can. Go ahead. I'm thankful for a lady that gives everything she's got. She only works 20 hours a week, but I get 45 hours a week at work out of her, let me tell you. This lady has saved our bacon so many times, so many ways, and yet does it with a smile. She always answers the phone with a smile, even when it's not a good day. You'll never know it. Thank God for a person like Mrs. Barnes to help us around here. Next, I'm thankful for Brother Josh being the finest young assistant pastor in America. I had my pick. I could have picked anybody in the country, and I did, for a reason. Not because of his last name and not because of his looks. And not because of his humility. No, very capable. We needed Brother Josh. And boy, what an addition. And boy, what he's doing for our church. Some things you'll never see what he's doing. But boy, is he doing it. And I'm so thankful for he and Ruth Ann and even little Hunter. And yeah. I'm thankful for nursery workers.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah. Who wants all that noise in here on a Sunday morning? And who wants all the stuff that they do on Sunday morning? Not me. I'm glad I can't smell anymore, but there's some things that just don't need to be in the auditorium, amen? Thank God for a crew of ladies that give their time at least once a month to go in there and watch the little ones. And it's amazing what the rewards in heaven will be, because we were able to take care of the children while the adults could get from the Word of God what they needed. Next, I'm thankful for faithful Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers. Man, there is nothing, there are few things as important as teaching the Word of God. Now, getting people to church is pretty important, though. Can't teach them if they're not here. But once they're here, faithful Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers. Next, I'm thankful for Brother Lopez and junior church workers. Yeah. Joe, the top of your head's turning red. Let me tell you, we hear them from time to time in here, but I'm glad the noise is on that side of the wall. No, seriously, I mean this lovingly. If you'd have known Joe Lopez 30 years ago like I did, you'd say, Joe Lopez, a great junior church worker? Yeah, Joe Lopez. Joe Lopez in junior church has put families in this church and kept families in this church. He's reached families through the children. You may not know it, but I do. When kids are happy and want to go back, parents tend to want to come back too. And it's amazing how that works. And by the way, he's teaching them and training them. I mean, the boys are ushering, but they don't usher unless they got a tie on. The girls get to do things, but they need to be dressed appropriately if they're going to be up in front of people. And say, why do you do that, preacher? Because he's training them to get ready for church. By the time they come in here from junior church, you don't know that they just came in from junior church. Once about every 5-6 weeks, they're starting to sing in church on Sunday morning, and they come up here and sing the special on Sunday morning. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank God for Brother Lopez and our junior church workers. Then I'm thankful for Mrs. Lopez and our bus workers. We're getting ready to make a few little changes and things, but things are motoring along, and it's going to be bigger and better than it ever has been, and I'm excited about it. And by the way, this is a church where bus kids are welcome as anybody else is. And that's the way it ought to be. Next, I'm thankful for Brother Barnes, because he married Mrs. Barnes. No, no, Brother Barnes does more work around here than anybody knows. He runs our PA for us. Brother Barnes is a part of every baptism that takes place here. He takes care of the baptistry, makes sure the heater's on, makes sure it's cleaned. He makes sure that everything's in order for it. He's getting ready to get a CDL and start helping with driving the bus. And hey, can I tell you something? People like that, if I need something, preacher, whatever you need. Preacher, whatever you need. Brother Bandy was grinding some stumps out back, and he needed one cut. He said, I don't have a chainsaw big enough. Who do I talk to? I said, talk to Brother Barnes. If he ain't got one, he'll find one. He loves cutting things. And before Sunday night church, it was cut off, man. It was gone. And all the stumps back there cared for. And Brother Barnes helped drop probably 200 trees out here. What was it, 2 summers ago or whenever we cut all these out and planted things. And just does so much around here. Then, next, I'm thankful for people who love their preacher and his wife. We're spoiled. I mean that. My wife and I want for nothing. And by the way, we don't want anything, but we sure do enjoy your love, but we enjoy loving you. But it's always nice every once in a while to be loved back. And you always do. It's always that way. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad we have the preacher's wife that we have. She doesn't want a lot of attention. When we started this church, she pointed her little finger in my face as only she can do. And she said one thing: don't you dare call me the first lady. She hates that term, by the way. I understand why she hates it, because she doesn't want to be the first lady. She's just my lady, amen? She's just one of you, and that's the way it ought to be. But boy, you talk about, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Your birthday doesn't come around without her recognizing it. She's always there. She's greeting every person, every service just about, whether she's in the nursery or not. And it's just, she oversees the nursery for me, and it's just amazing what she does. Then, I'm thankful for our music around here.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thankful for, we may not have the fanciest music, but I've been around fancy music that doesn't do much. I'm thankful for people that care about their music. I'm thankful for the congregational singing we have. Man, this church knows how to sing. It may not all be in tune, but we sure have a good time doing it. Amen. And sometimes we get the piano box and Brother Josh and everybody else on different pages, but we'll eventually catch up to it. Amen. I'm thankful for every part of our music around here that it's old-fashioned. We don't have follow the bouncy balls, and we don't have all the contemporary and jump up and down and the rock music and the songs that never end and say the same words over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Thank God for the old songs. Next, I'm thankful that our church's needs have been met every week. In 9 years, in 2 months, there's not been 1 week go by, not 1 7-day period go by, we haven't seen somebody get saved. That's amazing. I believe God meets our needs because we're after the lost. I believe if we do our part, God steps in and says, let me do what you didn't do. Let me do what you can't do. And I'm thankful that now some weeks he's putting me on my knees saying, okay, God, help me quick. But each and every week our needs are being met. I'm thankful for all the things that we have here. We've got a great PA system. We've got comfortable chairs that don't hurt too bad when you sit for a while. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I've been there, done that. Spent many an hour on a pew that hurts where you sit. I'm thankful for all the things that God has done for us. A beautiful piano that we virtually didn't pay hardly anything for. Just some of the amazing things that God has done here. I'm thankful for Grace Baptist Church's future. Boy, we have a bright future. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. I'm not discouraged about what's happening in America. Can I tell you something? People are ready. We just got to go tell them. Can I tell you something? Quit being worried about offending somebody. People are tired of the pussyfooting in the woke society. They just need somebody to give them the truth.
Amen.
I'm thankful for all the people who've been saved, baptized, and have their lives changed here. And I look across this room and see how God's transformed so many different people in this room just in the last year. But over the years, it's amazing. Most of all, and I'm done, I'm thankful for a place where God's put his hand of blessing upon it. I mean that. I believe God enjoys being here. I do. The one thing I probably ask God most for is, please keep your hand on us. Keep your hand on us. I'm not asking to run thousands in church. If we do someday, we do. I have no aspirations of how big our church is ever going to be. I would just want to reach every person we can. When we fill it up, we'll build another. Say, what are we going to do after that? Then we'll build another. I'm not worried about it. I just want to reach everybody we can while we can. I don't believe we have an awful lot of time left. Let's do all we can while we can. But I do want God to bless it. We're not going to do it just to get a crowd. We're going to do it his way. We're going to follow this old black book right there. We're going to do it the way he said do it, not the way man says do it. I just happen to think the man who started the church, his name was Jesus. If we'll do it his way, he'll be happiest. I just believe that. We don't need all the new tricks and the new toys and all the new fangled junk. We just need to go back to the way Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And God knows, Brother Mike, we're sitting on a big rock. I know I paid tens of thousands of dollars to hammer that thing down. Thank you, Grace Baptist Church. for allowing me to be your preacher. I mean that. There's not a more humbling term in the entire world to me. Not one. Brother Jimbo's been put on hospice, and Loretta said, I had to walk out of the room today. He was about ready to tear into the nurses because they keep wanting to bring their chaplain by. And he keeps telling them, I got a preacher, I don't need a chaplain. I love that man right there. Men like that who call me preacher humbles me. It really does. Because I love you, Brother Jimbo. It's an honor for me to pastor a church. Matter of fact, a little over 9 years ago, I told God, I said, I'm not going to pastor. I'll just let you pastor and I'll be your assistant. I can do a better job that way. Oh, the title on the paper might say pastor, but that's God's job, not mine. I'll just be his assistant. I'll just tell you what he says. But can I tell you something? What an honor to be the pastor of this church. Not just a church, this church. Nothing better in the whole world, I promise you. Folks, God said it's good to give thanks unto the Lord. Thank God for our church. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe you'll take just a moment and thank God for your church. Maybe something I said, maybe something I didn't even say that you're thankful for about it.